I'm Dr. Rosari Griffin, and this is an interview with Dr. Cleona O'Connor, who is a postdoctoral researcher at the National Suicide Research Foundation School of Public Health at UCC. Hello, Cleona. You're very welcome to the show.
Hi, Rosari. Thanks for having me.
Now, Cleona, you're a research psychologist with an interest in youth mental health. Tell us a little bit about yourself in the first instance, and then how you became interested in this whole area.
Yeah, well, I suppose I was always interested in young people, and it led me to go off to Mary Eye and do primary school teaching with a dual degree then in psychology. So I was introduced then to the idea of mental health and psychological aspects of well-being. And from there, I went teaching for a year up in Glanmire. And I always enjoyed the side of helping young people with their emotional well-being and their mental health. So I went off then and did a PhD in psychology up in UCD. And in that, I was looking at school-based interventions for young people to try and improve their mental well-being.
Wonderful. That's quite a varied background. And as an educator myself, I'm delighted to see you were up in Mary Eye. I suppose then you became interested in the whole area of mental health, and that obviously led you into your postdoctoral work with the National Suicide Research Foundation.
Yes, absolutely. So at the moment, I'm actually working on a study in collaboration with a team of researchers up in UL, and this is also in collaboration with Oxford University. So we're looking at the mental health of young people throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. So it's an ongoing study, and your listeners can learn more about it online if they just Google search CodeSpace Ireland. And we're looking at basically how young people are adapting to these changes and how their mental health is faring. And we asked parents of young people what exactly was stressing them out or in relation to their young people, and their number one top stressor they reported was their child's well-being. I suppose isn't a huge surprise. Second then on the list was their child's education. And I suppose there's a lot of uncertainty and ambiguity around their child's education, particularly now going into September. And I suppose at the time when we would have been collecting this data as well, there was a lot of uncertainty around the Leaving Cert. And then third, and maybe surprisingly, parents were reporting that their young people, that they were worried about their young people and their screen time usage. So we actually looked at this last year in the My World survey up in UCD, whereby we looked at how young people were spending time online. And interestingly, I think parents should be aware that it's not exactly how much time they're spending online or that all time online is bad for you, but actually it depends how you're spending your time online. So some of our young people who are spending time online and they're actually engaging with their peers, or they're engaging in some sort of creative content or educational content, are actually doing quite well, and that it is good for their mental health. So I suppose, particularly with COVID-19 restrictions, it is maybe a good thing that their young people are online, and maybe that they're getting to spend time with their friends that they wouldn't get to do otherwise. And I think it's important to bear that in mind. Now, obviously, there are negative aspects, and obviously, if our young people are spending time online and they're engaging in antisocial behaviour online, then that could be bad for their mental health. So I just think it's important to realise that not all screen time is bad, that we can actually use it in a beneficial way.
Okay, very interesting. Now, and obviously COVID-19 exacerbated the amount of time people were spending online simply because the children did not have access to their school buddies on a day-to-day physical basis, and therefore they almost had to resort to the online resource, which, as you said, turned out not to be such a bad thing, maybe.
Absolutely, yes. And I think it's important to know as well, and to maybe realise from a young person's perspective, they might feel the least affected by the physical health aspects of COVID-19, but perhaps the most affected by the restrictions, in that they don't get to necessarily see their friends, they're not engaging in their schooling the way they used to. Some of us, I know, are working from home, and we still get to engage with our colleagues, or we still get to see people because we're responsible for ourselves. But our young people may not be given that response, or may not have that opportunity to do that. So I think it's important to see it from their perspective, that they really do feel impacted by it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good. And is this all then pertaining to you, you were a co-author of My World Survey Report, which was recently published. Can you tell us a bit about that and your role in it?
Yeah, so I was the postdoctoral researcher on that piece of work, and we published that last year. So that was in conjunction with Jigsaw, the National Centre for Youth Mental Health. And interestingly enough, we found that from 2012 to 2019, there was an increase in levels of anxiety and depression in our young people aged 12 to 25 years. And I think that's important, that while we're all thinking about youth mental health now in amidst COVID-19, this was already a bit of a crisis before COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So that I suppose that it's important to realise that this isn't a new issue for our young people, but it's just another worry for our new people, or for our young people. Yes, we found some very interesting findings. Things, even from 2012 to 2019, we found that our young people were reporting less bullying in schools, which we thought was interesting. And we think that's a good reflection on the proactive work that our schools are doing mm-hmm. in trying to reduce the levels of bullying. And of course, we're seeing some behaviours in relation to mental health which are not so good. So things like alcohol consumption, lack of exercise, lack of sleep, and how these all of these can contribute to poor mental well-being.
Okay, and in relation to your work with the National Suicide Research Foundation, have you found in the past, from we'll say 2012 to now, or even since COVID, there has been an increase in the rates of suicide, or maybe not at all?
So it's hard to tell right now in that it's all so new, and we don't actually have data mm-hmm. on the COVID-19 pandemic on suicide and self-harm yet. But I do think it's important to note that it's maybe a bit too early to be jumping to conclusions around that, and
mm-hmm.
that sometimes we can maybe do more harm than good than anticipating that rise. So I think at the moment we're not sure, and I think maybe following this over the next few months on the National Suicide Research Foundation Twitter page and a website will be good, because we will be publishing reports on self-harm and suicidal behaviour over the coming months.
Okay. An interesting point that you raised earlier there was the rise in anxiety in children between 2012 and 2019, even before the pandemic. What do you think accounts for that?
Yeah, I think there are a number of different factors. So in this study, we actually looked at what we call risk and protective factors. So we looked at things that are bad for your mental health and things that are also good. And what we're finding is that there's no one answer, and that it's kind of a combination of a few factors.
Mm-hmm.
So things like engaging in risky behaviour, so alcohol consumption or drug use, drug misuse, also things like poor peer relationships, poor family relationships, a lack of support from home, all of these things contribute to higher anxiety. Whereas on the other hand, good things like exercise, things like good sleep hygiene, things like having what Jigsaw called the one good adult, so having that supportive adult in their lives, these are all good for your mental health. So like I said, it's very complex, and there's mm-hmm. one size fits all for your mental health, and there's no one, I suppose, answer to this whole complex issue, and I just think it's important to note that it is quite complex, and that it is a combination of things that are bad but also things that are good for mm-hmm. your mental health.
And I suppose out of this report that you've done, do you have any recommendations that I suppose might assist in reducing the levels of anxiety or mental health or depression?
Yeah, so we looked at it from the individual, the social, and then the wider community level perspective. And from an individual perspective, a young person could maybe look after their own sleep hygiene. They could look after their own, how they're spending time online, and maybe avoid behaviours, passively consuming material online that makes them feel bad about themselves, or maybe just becoming a bit more self-aware about that. And then from the parents' perspective, they could look at helping their young people with their coping strategies. So helping them with support-focused and problem-based solving rather than avoidance-based coping. So helping them through problems, but not necessarily going straight in headfirst and dealing with their problems for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're scaffolding them and helping them and guiding them to facing their problems. And then from a wider level, I suppose there's more that we can do in schools for our young people's mental health, and that even comes back to the whole debate, I suppose, about leaving cert and examinations and the school-based system as it is and how that might relate to mental health. So I think there are some structural and organisational things there that could be looked at that maybe are triggering mental health problems for young people. And there are also proactive things that our schools can do. So things like improving resilience and helping our young people get exercise more often. The World Health Organization recommends that young people get up to 60 minutes of exercise a day. But maybe our schools don't reflect that at the moment. So, I suppose there are things that at each level we can do to help our mental health.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting how you said that the policies in the schools around bullying have helped to reduce, according to the survey, the incidence of bullying at schools. And I noticed as well in my own daughter's school bag or whatever, the information that they got around bullying was very informative and very, aimed at their level, that they could easily label it, name it, and then report it in an appropriate way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think things like that are actually informed by young people. And I think that's another important point, is that in our research project and in developing policies and things like that, children need to be a part of it, and mm-hmm. young people need to be a part of it. So if you're a parent and you're thinking, how can I support my child, and maybe chat to them, how do they think that you could support them? Because they have more ideas than I think we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
In some instances, they're actually very wise, and they know themselves. They just maybe need the support and they need the bit of guidance to help them get there.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think that whole strategy around improving resilience is also probably a very good strategy in terms of building them up for future knocks and future challenges and difficulties.
Yeah, and we're reading a lot about how maybe at the end of COVID-19 and when we get through this, that maybe our young people will be more resilient, and I'd like to think that they will be. I'm sure they've definitely been faced with a lot of challenging situations in the last few months, and I would like to think that it is building resilience. But I suppose that there's a difference there between letting them struggle through and actually just supporting them as well through, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes, indeed. Yes, and I suppose while school can't be the panacea of all social ills, at the same time, it's a very good building block to help them to catapult them, we'll say, into adult life.
Absolutely, yes. And that's the approach that we like to take as well, that we like to look at it from the individual, the family, the school, and say, for example, even Jigsaw, the charity that I referred to there, the National Centre for Youth Mental Health, you know, that they have a role to play as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's wonderful work you're doing. I'm very interested, obviously, as an educator, I'm very interested in both the survey and all that work on, assisting our young people build up their mental reserves as much as their intellectual or social or emotional, so as it's all a package. So well done on the work you're doing, Cliona. And we wish you every success in the future in your career and also in everything you aspire to do.
Great. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you too. And you were listening to interviews with Dr. Rosari Griffin and guests. And this podcast can be listened back on CRY 104FM.com.